at Surah Al-Fajr, and we had done halfway through, or we had done 16 ayahs, if I can remember. And the ayahs, sort of the last two ayahs, 15 and 16 were, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَا ابْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنِ. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives His na'mah to a person, to the men things that Allah has honored him. And if he tries, that Allah tries him with poverty, فَقْتَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْكَ, which straightens his risks, his means of living are straightened. Then he thinks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is despised him, degraded him, doesn't like him. Now, as we said last time, this is what human beings are. They are self-centered. They think the whole world goes around them, whereas that's not the case. And as far as religion is concerned, this is one of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that through His messengers He has made us know that whatever state we are in this world is a trial. And very cleverly, actually, religion turns every state into a trial, and so making it equal for everybody. It's a trial. If you are poor, you have to be patient and do whatever is right for that state, and if you are rich, you have to be thankful and do whatever is right for that state. So in both cases it is a trial. But there is one thing that we must note, and I think anybody who looks at the Quran, anyone, any religious text or anything, I mean, it is that the rich come for bigger hammering than the poor. I mean, poor can do bad, and I mean, there are people fed up of poverty, and because of poverty driven into kufr and other things, and there are people who, because of rich or being rich, they sort of turn away. But the rich come for a bigger beating. I mean, you hardly see that these poor people did this or that, and that is, I mean, because in reality it's only the rich who corrupt. I mean, how is the poor going to corrupt and spread all this? He doesn't have the means. I mean, he's poor, the most he can do is affect himself, whereas the rich and the powerful have the means to corrupt and to spread their influence further than themselves. Not only themselves they corrupt, but others as well. So it is these things that are sort of mentioned and made us so that we become aware. Because in this surah also, the three previous cases mentioned, they were all people who are powerful, mighty, and spreading corruption in the earth. Whereas Allah says, فَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ, He is Allah, is in a place of sort of hiding, watching out, ready to pounce on these people. Now this thing, and then the Quran says, and this is throughout in religion, I mean, in any case, I mean, that does not mean that whatever we are, we have to be happy with it or whatever, but we have to sort of work within that sphere. I mean, it is making everything that there is a trial and a test, and whatever we do in this world, we will see in the next. This is also a blessing and a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He, I mean, there is no way that, despite what our usul is or our people may say, there is no way we can find out that there is a hereafter. There are no proofs as such of finding out that there is a hereafter or not. I mean, this is Allah's blessing that He has sort of sent messengers and told us about it. And whoever believes that, to sort of, there is a nice sort of instance. If you look at Noah, take the example of Noah. He was telling his people, come board this ship and you will be saved, and people would not believe him. But anybody who sailed on the ship was saved. I mean, this is the whole thing about the hereafter, and that's why the hereafter has been sort of given so much emphasis everywhere in the Quran. People say, why the Quran comes talking about here? Because this is one thing, a major thing, one of the major things that Apple cannot reach, and something that is going to happen. and we are going to be drowned if we don't get onto on this ship of belief of the hereafter, do whatever is necessary for it. And if you get on it, then we'll be saved. If you believe in the prophets, and they are telling us to get on this ship, then we'll be saved. Otherwise, we are doomed. I mean, it is not. In fact, religious scholars have sort of gone for it. And it is very important to remember this. Though the way it is presented is in a way that as if Allah is a teacher or somebody who, for example, if you do good, you will be rewarded. There is no sort of doing good in a classroom, on a school. There is no link. There is no physical link. There is no sort of cause and effect that if you do good, you will get a reward. That is what is called a tabai. That is what is conventional. The teacher gives it to you. It doesn't automatically flow. Whereas religious scholars, they have said that as far as the rewards of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are not in that sense. He is not going to sit in the judgment as if, for example, when your results come out and then look up the mark and say, okay, now you can get. It is something that is automatic. It is something that is of the nature of cause and effect, that if you do this, this will happen automatically. It's not something that is a'tibar in the sense that Allah, if He wishes, He will. But He has now wished and this is all done. The hereafter is also there in this world. It is acting in the sense that whatever we are doing good, I mean, this is accumulating, you know, however sense, it is automatic. And this is what, in fact, there are so many ayahs in the Quran which would sort of point to this sort of thing. It's not something at the bar. Now here also, and this is in connection with an ayah we are going to look, there is also another thing. When we talk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are huge debates among the mutakallimin, those who are the theologians, when Allah talks of, for example, we'll see that He comes with the malaika in rows, Allah will come, or Allah has this hand. I mean, people, because of their there are some who sort of, because of their philosophy or whatever, have led them to believe that Allah, and rightly or wrongly, I'm not trying to say it's wrong or right, but whatever, they have made them to believe that Allah doesn't have a jism. So these ayahs have to be sort of translated in this way, or has to be understood in this way. Now there are a group of people not so much sort of influenced by kalam, by other ways, they say that it is immaterial, whether you think of Allah as a jism or not as a jism or something. And in fact, I think it's Hafiz who has given this very good example. There was a village and a preacher came and he said, he used to believe in Allah being jism, being a material form. He said, if you don't believe that Allah is a jism, all your prayers are gone and everything you do is useless and nothing will be accepted and will be punished. Whatever you do, no matter how good you are, if you don't believe that He is a jism, this will happen. So this preacher went and then another preacher came and he used to believe the opposite, that Allah is not a jism. And he said, no matter how good you are, whatever you do, if you believe Allah is a jism, is material, then your good acts are finished and it's gone and all this, and you go to hell no matter what happens. So now there was this poor chap who said, what am I to do? There is this preacher who says this and there is this preacher who says this, now I am stuck. Whether we do good or not, this is of prime importance. So he was worried, and then this poet says that his wife said, look, what is your problem? The solution is very easy. You are worried about how he is and what he is. Well, this is immaterial. Do what he wants you to do. You do good, leave him worry. Let him worry about whether he is jism or is not jism, or he can come here or he can go there. This is his problem. As far as you are concerned, he can see you, he wants you to do this thing. That's it. Do it. Forget these people who say that this, it is, he is not like this and he is not like, and this, you will say that these debates, I mean, they are useful debates, I am not saying they are useless debates, but most of them have been taken because of other things. And the Quran sort of deals as human beings in the language that they understand, and we understand material, we do not understand things which are non-material. It is not very easy to comprehend. Maybe there are a few people, and Quran talks of God's hands and His face and His love and His anger. Whereas all these philosophers will say His anger is not anger, His love is not love, His knowledge is not knowledge. Yeah, and that is true. His knowledge is not knowledge. Because our knowledge is something different. It's something we know about it. He doesn't know about something which is outside. His anger is not, he doesn't get angry. He doesn't have emotion that he, and how do we, and they said the only thing you put in his case is anger, the result of anger. If you have this emotion, then you punish somebody. Then his anger is this punishment. His love is flowing, giving somebody his na'mat, not sort of the emotional part which is there. But the Quran doesn't, we do not understand this sort of thing. Human beings do not understand. They are emotional beings, they are physical beings. The Quran talks in their language, the language that they understand, to encourage them to do good and to keep away from bad. So, and this is how we should also look at the ayah that comes later on, that this is how we interpret it. Now, how he comes and whether he's a body or not, it's immaterial and it sort of doesn't help us in any way. He is going to come. He is going to be there. And that is it. So now this, the second part will start with Kalla. It is not this case that you think that everything hinges on yourself. If you are rich, you think that Allah is happy with you. The whole world is happy with you. Everything is great and you deserve all this. It is not like this. This world is a test. Kalla balla tukrimuna al-yatim. It is not like this. And even those who are rich and who think that Allah sort of loves them. I mean, what sort of rich people are there? Look at them. Kalla balla tukrimuna al-yatim. No, it is not like this. But you do not honor the orphan. And it is said that this ayah and the ayah which will come later, which comes the next one, the one after it, where it says, تَعْقُلُونَ التُرَاثَ أَقْلَ اللَّمَّةِ. It said that they had, the Arabs at that time, that one of their traditions was whenever somebody inherited, the eldest inherited, the youngest didn't inherit anything. And they were left without it. So they would, saying that this, they eat all the portions. They eat, add to whatever they have, more and more to eat, leaving others without it. كَلَّ بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. No, you do not honor that, the orphan. The orphan who is no protector, nothing, you do not honor him. You love wealth so much that even these people who are so sort of destitute, who are such that would move anybody's heart who had a proper heart, you do not give it to him. You do not give him, don't care about them. Forget about others. Even the orphans you do not give. This is what you think that Allah is going. You think that because you have wealth, you are sort of noble in his sight. When your actions are like this, how can that be? وَلَا تَحَاظُونَ عَلَىٰ تَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. And you do not, حَظَّة comes from حَظَّة. حَظَّة is to incite, to excite, to encourage, to urge, to recommend, to command. حَظَّة. وَلَا تَحَاظُوا is from تَتَحَاظَّة. تَتَحَاظَّة is, you know, is a reciprocal. You do something to somebody and somebody does it to you. So you you urge somebody and they urge you. So it's a social thing, sort of one urging the other. And everybody urging each other. And you do not urge, encourage each other, عَلَىٰ تَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ, to feed the poor. Now here remember, it's not saying that you are not feeding the poor. It's not enough. You are not urging each other. You are not encouraging each other to feed the poor, to feed the needy and the destitute. Why? What is the reason? وَتَعْقُلُونَ التُرَاسَ أَقْلَ اللَّمَّةِ. And you eat. You devour. A turas is something that is left to you of heritage, that you inherit. Now remember, so there are two types of wealth. One is that you acquire, which is more dearer to you than something that is given for nothing. Somebody dies and you just left with a big chunk. That is tura. Even this, you want to eat it up. It's not something that you have worked hard and collected, but this which has come to you free, without any work, even this, وَتَعْقُلُونَ التُرَاسَ أَقْلَ اللَّمَّةِ. And you devour the turas, the heritage. Lamma is sort of joining with jama. Lamamtu al-mal, as Ragib says, is jamahtu. I collected. Lamamtu, I collect. To put things together, to put one after the other, to join together. Others have said that this lamma is actually not putting everything, even right and wrong, everything, whether no matter how you have collected, it, you just join it. Your share with others share, everybody's share. And you eat or you devour the heritage, aqlal lamma, greedily, with extreme greed. So as I said, many Mufassirs have said that they had to these sort of laws that the elders sort of took everything, even that which the youngest would have inherited. They just joined it among them to their portion and took it. وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. And you love wealth, حُبًّا, a loving jamma. Jamma is also sort of, as you say, as there is also a phrase, jammun ghafir, is abundance, lot, much more than more, I mean, lot. And you love this wealth, a great loving, I mean, extremely an abundant love. So that is why you don't want to give it to the poor, don't want to give it to the orphans. This is the root cause, as many sort of those people who are deal with akhlaq and asid, this and the love of power, these two are the root causes of many, many other vices, thousands of them. They all come from this love of wealth and love of power. And in fact, in some hadiths it is said the love of power is the last thing that goes away from a mu'min's heart, greater than love of wealth. But most of the people, I mean, most of us are not sort of afflicted that much in love of power. Some of us are to a greater extent than others. But as far as wealth is concerned, it is common. All of us love wealth and love it a lot. So it says that this is your case, this is what you love it a lot. There is no harm in loving wealth. I mean, as we have pointed it out in Imam Ali's khutbah, he says, insan is abna'u dunya. They are the children of the world, and you cannot tell a child not to love his mother. He will love his mother. But loving in the sense that rightful loving, doing the right things with the with what you have. But here, these people are blamed because they love the world and they are going to do sacrifice anything and everything for this love. But the end is not like this. The end, this end which is being told to us and being repeated and being knocked into our heads like anything, is the day of Qiyamah. Kalla. And this is going to happen, whether we like it or not. And some of the hadiths say, for those who die, the Qiyamah is the day of death. I mean, it's not far away, we all believe it. But what is going to happen is something that our aql cannot fix. Let us not sort of fool ourselves, at the moment anyway. Tomorrow, next time, I mean, something may be discovered that we may reach. But as far as till now we know, we cannot reach. There are no reasons, there are no proofs as such that they can come and say, no, this is, there is this hereof, there is no, or it is like this. Similarly also, I mean, we must point out that even the proofs that are given by the philosophers for Allah, their proofs are different. Their Allah is a dry Allah, and Allah is the cause of all causes. Here Allah is not Rahman, is not Rahim, is not Qadim, is not this. There are thousands of things that religion teaches. Let us not be fooled about this thing. Though people like the Kalamists would like us to believe that this thing. We cannot prove an Allah who is Rahman, is Rahim, who is this, who is that, which is preached by religion. And hereafter also, if some people say that there are some indications, we cannot derive the hereafter which is depicted by the Quran. So one of the main things, kalla idha dukkatil ardu dakkan dakka. No, it's not like this that you think. Be warned. Idha dukkatil ardu dakkan dakka. Dakka is to level something. In fact, interesting enough, I mean, this word dakka, in fact, dukkan and dikka and all these words come from it, I mean, and have got this original meaning of leveling, flattening something. Probably the Deccan Peninsula or the Deccan Plateau in India also comes from the same word. Dakka then is something that is leveled, a plateau also, something that is leveled at the top. And dukkan, probably people sort of, either because of a stool or a concrete or stools carved out of stone that people used to sit on it and sort of make bargains. Oh, lot of people coming and leveling the earth, and that is sort of a place where they come together and all this and sell and buy and dukkan shop and then coming up. Dakka is to level. Kalla idha dukkatil ardu dakkan dakka. And though others have said that the original meaning is to grind, to sort of demolish and grind, and even the taf with two dots is the same thing as to pound, it's to hammer at something, to knock. And any time you want to sort of level the ground, you have to break it and level it up. So if you take the meaning as being leveled, or it is being ground or pound and sort of flattened, when the earth is flattened, totally flattened, and this also ties up with the other ayahs where it says that the mountains start floating and sort of become like wool and sort of be leveled up. So when the earth is flattened, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا, and comes, جَاءَ, literally comes رَبُّكَ, your Lord, وَالْمَلَكُ, and the malaika, and the angels will come, صَفًّا صَفًّا, in rows. So your Lord and the malaikas will come in ranks, in rows, one after the other. Now here it is that most of the Mufassirs have said that doesn't mean that Allah will come, He's always there and all these things, but His amr will come, His commands will come, and that is the same as saying Allah will come. You can look it up in Suduk and all other things, I mean all of them said, because it sort of contradicts their idea of Allah being a jism. Now, so Allah will come, or His command will come, with the malaika. And malaikas will come, all of them say yes, malaikas will come, without even debating whether malaikas are something that is jismani or not, or are they fully material that they can come as well. Nobody has ever, they all think that yeah, they are material beings somehow, and they will come with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ranks. Others have said that because on that day some veils would be removed from us, we will see things as they are different from this world, and we will sort of see the hand of God in everything. In this world we don't see it. We don't see exactly how Allah does things, how He makes us, how He creates it, how He gives us rich. His hand is sort of hidden from us by veils, by causes, by effects. On that day it will be clear from everybody. And there is an ayah in the Quran, a very good ayah, which says that on that day your eyes will be very sharp and you will see things clear, through things, through all this way you will see it as it is. In this world you don't see things as they are, but through veils and through other means and causes and effects and all these things. So that's why the others said that that is what Jaa Rabbuka, Allah will come, you will actually see how He sort of does things. وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ, and on that day Jahannam will be brought. Now here also there are hadith, actually hadith which say that Jahannam will be pulled by some other, so many malaikas, and will be brought. Others say no, this only means Jahannam will be uncovered. Or others say no, we will see it. And because we are there, I mean how can we pull Jahannam and bring it? But no, the literal meaning is جِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ, and Jahannam will be brought on that day. And what will happen now, this is the day that is the day of remorse for those who, and this is what religion has all come about. Look, don't let that day be the day of remorse. Do not enjoy everything blindly, that there is nothing after this world. يَوْمَيْذِي يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّ لَهُ الذِّكْرَ, on that day man will remember, yatazakkaru, will remember, وَأَنَّ لَهُ الذِّكْرَ, and where? And what is the use of dhikra, of remembering on that day? It's all past. He will feel sort of remorse. He'll say, ah, I wish I had done this or that or this. He will remember, because he will see the consequences. He'll see everything clearly, and he will remember, and wish that he had remembered. وَأَنَّ لَهُ الذِّكْرَ, there is no use of dhikr at that time. And this is the whole purpose of religion. Look, this is your chance. There is no chance after this world. There is nothing you can do once you have passed away this life. So remember, and if this message is put forth, then, and you have taken this message, you have taken everything. There is a dua which is very nice dua. It says, O Allah, if you give me one thing, then if you don't give me anything, that's enough. That is heaven. Or write my name, those will go to heaven. And if you don't give me one thing, then if you give me everything else, it is nothing. It won't help me. And that is if you write me amongst those who go to hell, or if you don't give me heaven. So you will feel if you give me everything, then it is useless, worthless, for a very short time. And as we have said in Imam Ali's khutbah as well, he says, look, die or have love of something that is permanent. Don't have love of things which are temporary and transitional, which will go away. Have love of something that is, and what is permanent? Apart from Allah, there is nothing which is permanent. So only have love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or as another saying says, لِكُلِّ هُبِّنْ فِرَاقٍ إِلَّا هُبَّ اللَّهِ. For every love, there is separation, except the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is that what religion is trying to tell you, look, this is not permanent, have love for the permanent. Remember that day, that when you don't have to be amongst those who say, يَوْمَيْزِنْ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّ لَهُ الذِّكْرَ. And what is the use? And what remembrance will not avail him? What is one noun? Where is for him remembrance? What is the use of it? Yakulu, he will say, Ya laytani, would that I wish I had qaddamtu li hayati, had sent something forward. Qaddama is to send forward. Send something forward li hayati, for my life. Now, it is interesting to say that this not only here, but in fact, in other places also, the life hereafter is actually regarded by the Quran as the life. In the worldly life is regarded as lahu, life, or some all the other terms which are sort of mentioned, a play, a pastime, thing that we are going past. That is the real life. So why, I wish I had sent something in front for my real life. فَيَوْمَيْذِ اللَّهِ يُعَذِّبُ عَذَابَهُ أَحَدٍ. And on that day, لَا يُعَذِّبُ. Now this has been read in two ways. Either you can read this in the active form, which is as it is written in most of the Quran. يُعَذِّبُ, he punished. عَذَّبَ, he punished. يُعَذِّبُ, he will punish. Who is he here? Allah. لَا يُعَذِّبُ, will not punish. On that day, nobody will, he will not punish. عَذَابَهُ أَحَدٍ. Sorry, he here is referring to Ad. Nobody will punish. عَذَابَهُ, who here? The who refers to Allah. Allah's punishment will no, nobody will punish the punishment of Allah. The punishment that Allah is going to give, nobody, it's so great, it is so wild, it's something that nobody is going to punish you that punishment. That it is a very great punishment. Or others they say, La yu'azzabu azabahu ahad. That the man, the punishment that man will be punished, he will never have been punished before. Nobody would have punished him that punishment. So either you are punished or he punishes you, the punishment. So in both the cases, the meaning, the ultimate meaning is the same. The punishment is going to be so great, a punishment which nobody has been punished. A punishment that nobody will punish you that hard. A very severe punishment. وَلَا يُوْتِكُ وَفَكَ is to bind, to tie up. وَلَا يُوْتِكُ وَفَاكَهُ أَحَدٍ. And nobody will tie up. He is tying up. He will tie you up so hard and so securely that nobody has ever tied anybody up that securely. So on, that is the day of Qiyamah. And this is for one, the one side, the majority of us, that we are like this. That, but then there is an escape. It is not sort of hope. The case is not hopeless. And that is the other side. What will happen to those who are good, nice? Ya ayyuha an-nafsul mutmainna. Itma'anna, coming from tam'ana, the four letter word, is to be tranquil, to be at peace. When the heart is not sort of fluttering around, it's tranquil, it's rest of mind, to be restful, not be doubtful and not sort of wandering from one place to other. And mutmain is somebody who is certain, is tranquil, is peaceful. His heart is peace, especially of mind and heart. So ya ayyatuha an-nafs, or the nafs, or the soul, or the person, or the nafs is referred either to the person or to his soul or to the thing that actually is what I am, myself, not my body, but my nafs, myself. So all the mutmain soul, all the soul who is peaceful, is tranquil, is certain, is not sort of wavering. Irji'i, the feminine is used, irji'i from raja, to return. Irji'i ila rabbiki, return to your Lord. Radiyatan, that you are in a state that you are happy. Radi is happy, satisfied, content. Mardiya, and somebody else also being happy with you. You are happy and Allah is happy. Fadkhuli fi ibadi, and enter amongst my slaves. Wadkhuli jannati, and enter my garden. And some Mufassirs have noted nicely here that they have said that first Allah says enter my ibadi, enter my slaves. Jannat is only for my slaves, not for those who act for as gods, as we have sort of mentioned last time as well. One of the major things of that religion teaches us again is to act as slaves of Allah, as human beings, not as gods. Question, please. Well, this is a debate that I mean, the right answer, I can give you answer with Mufassir given these people. My understanding, and many others have even given that, see, we don't know why Allah actually does lots of things. Let's be honest. We don't know. And the thing is that, but these people don't like to say these things, because they are ulamas and they are big learned people. We don't know. And this is, in fact, I wanted to say it, but it's difficult to say this sort of thing. We have to be, because this can be misused as well, we have to be realists that we are human beings with limited knowledge, with limited everything. We don't know why this huge creator who knows everything, he did so many things. And there are nice, I mean, I agree with our mystics. They have got nice examples. They say we are somebody who is watching a tailor. And what does a tailor do? He cuts the clothes and then he sews them together. And somebody who is just looking at him cutting, somebody says he's an idiot. I mean, now he cuts and now he joins and he doesn't understand, because he doesn't know what the end product is, which is something we do after cutting and joining, and then some, a cloth comes out. So he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is also these sort of things happening in this world. He is the designer, the organizer. He is doing this and doing that, and we sometimes say, this, he's an idiot, why does he do that? But I know he's very glad he's doing this thing. We don't know. And the hereafter, one of the things that will happen is we will know, and we'll say, yes, 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 yes. All these things I didn't understand, he do this and do that, and I was very upset and all this. But now I understand. وَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. And on that day your eyes will be very sharp. You will see and understand these things. But this is the truth. And this, whatever others are saying, they are sort of trying to patch up things and trying to explain why there is this and why there is this. But we don't know for real. We guess, make very calculated guesses, very educated guesses as to why this may be. But we will know on that day. But as I said, this can be misconstrued. Yes, somebody may be telling you some lies, some totally false religion. And he said, no, you don't understand this. You will understand in the next world. So we might have to be careful about following this, and as those who are philosophers have said. I mean, you cannot just say that, yeah, yeah, we will understand all that, so just go blindly into it. So yeah, that's why they go and sort of find out reasons as to why Allah. And they come up with many things, like for example, we do bad, but on the whole people do good, on the whole there is good in this world. And we will look into this as well when we look at Nahjul Balagha. And also in the concept that is there in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives good 10 rewards for something good, but only one punishment for something bad. And that Allah's punishment is not, as we said, something that He writes and He does it out of greed. It is built into the creation. And this creation is like that. Anything that is good gives out its fruits tenfold. And this is in the talks about the good word. مَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ كَمَثَلِ شَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ. A good word is like a good tree. Grows high and gives fruits. Every time, plenty of fruit. One word comes out and gives lots of fruit. This is what goodness is. Whereas badness doesn't fit with this word. And so it dries up and goes away. مَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ شَجَرَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ. A bad word is like a bad tree. Just grows, doesn't bear any fruit, and dies up and fades. Doesn't reproduce. Whereas a good tree does. So there is, and they have come up with this philosopher's time that there is more good than there is bad in this world. And things are moving towards good. And that is the whole purpose of Allah being hardy and being good and being all this. Otherwise Allah is not hardy. If Shaitan can derail us, if somebody can derail the whole history of mankind and take them into hell, I mean then there is, what sort of God is this? So yes, we will inshallah discuss. But they say that there, in general, there is more good in this world than there is bad. Sorry? Yes, there are people who say, and there are revival also say that not only paradise, can anyone say hell and paradise, both in this world, and there is no, and, but maybe there are different stages, different sorts of paradises. Yes, there are chances, and there are people who live in paradise in this world. As Allah says, نُحْيِهِمْ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. We make them live a tayyibah life. And what is that? A nice life. What is a nice life? It's a life in heaven. What else can it be? And there are others, and Allah says, even on the day of Qiyamah, the best thing is the people who will be sitting with Him. So, I mean, here and here also, we have a chance to sit with Him, to be with Him all the time. And dua is one of the saints. One of the scents of paradise, gives you the scent of paradise. Because you are sitting with Him when you are asking, talking with Him.